You will remember that as we started our study in this month's fellowship, I want you to spend time with your family, spend time with God's people. You'll have wonderful fellowship coming out and being in and around Judgment House in the next few days. But the whole thing is this. We need to enjoy one another and enjoy God's blessing. Most everybody I know is too busy, running, exhausted, and you don't take time to do things you really need to do just to relax a little bit, just enjoy being saved and what God's created and the blessings of that. And so that's what we wanted to emphasize this month, for us just to take some time. And then we saw in 1 John that we have the fellowship with the Father and with the Son, and then in what I'm going to read to you this morning, Philippians, and the Holy Spirit. We have the fellowship with the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We pray, but most time when we pray, we want something. We come to the Lord with a need or burden, but we ought to just learn to practice His presence and to just thank the Father for all He's done for us. Jesus said, when you pray, you say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. And everything that you ever had, God gave you. God's been so good to you, blessed you. And the Bible said, My God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That means that God the Father really is the word Father means protector and provider. And so God the Father makes sure that you take care of everything. Jesus said in John 15, My Heavenly Father feeds all the birds. And He said, He'll take care of you. And so everything you've got, everything that you've been blessed with, you understand what came out of the heart of the Father, came through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then when you think about the greatest gift of all, He gave us His Son, and Jesus Christ suffered and bled and died. Why wouldn't we want to just fellowship with Jesus and worship Him and adore Him and thank the Lord Jesus Christ for what He's done for us and talk with Him, you know? Just talk with Him, not a formal, you know, prayer, reciting something, but just to talk with Him. I remember I shared with you before one time about Ashlyn when she was real little, and we'd always say our prayers with her when she was real little, and you know, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep, and so like, and that's the way we did every night after night. And then one night she was extremely hyper. I mean, I don't know how old she was, 5 years old maybe, but she's just real hyper. I didn't think I'd ever get her calmed down enough to even lay in the bed to pray with her and ask, you know, to get her to go to sleep. But anyhow, I finally got her down to bed, and she sat right up at the bed. She said, Papa, I want to talk to Him myself. And I said, okay. And she said, she's just sitting there. She said, hey, Jesus, I have had a wonderful day. Hey, Jesus, listen to this. She learned how to snap her fingers, and she wanted Him to hear her snap her finger. And then she went on to say, I want to thank You for my Papa. Thank You for my granny. And all it was, I tell you. And then she said, when she got through, I was emotional over there, and you're trying to keep back the tears and everything. And she said, Papa, it's your turn. You talk to Him. And I said, now lay me down to sleep. I pray. You know, fellowship means it has to do with your interacting with Him, talking with Him, and fellowshipping with Him. And this morning, we're going to deal with the third person. We also talked about last Sunday about fellowship with the saints of God. But as I began this thought, this, you know, God laid this on our heart for the whole year, a theme for every month, I thought, you know, fellowship, boy, I have one or two messages on that. And I'm going to tell you, it's gotten bigger and bigger and bigger. I'll be honest with you, I could preach tonight after Christmas on some of the things the Lord's showed me about fellowship in the Bible. It's full of it. Man, listen, Emmanuel, God with us. That's why He came. He wanted to be with us. And I remember those disciples on the road to Emmaus. They said, did not our hearts burn with us as he walked with us and as He talked with us by the way? I mean, just walking with Him, talking with Him. Boy, they said our hearts just were burning within us. What a joy to fellowship with the Lord. And I want you to look this morning. Will you turn to John 14? And for the sake of time, I'm going to read you a text verse for this morning in the book of Philippians chapter 2. In Philippians chapter 2, I'll read verse 1, but you turn to John 14, and I'm going to turn right back there to be with you, and I'll read some scriptures there in just a few moments. But first of all, in Philippians chapter 2, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, If any bowels of mercy, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. He lists there two or three things that are common to every Christian. And he's emphasizing, in further in the book of Philippians, he emphasized that, you know, when you, Satan wants to war against your mind, he said, you ought to think, if there are any good things, anything's a good report, so on, so on, you ought to think on those things. And here he says, our concentration ought to be on the Lord Jesus Christ and on the comfort of his love and on fellowship with the Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit. I want to share with you for a few moments on fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. Will you bow with me for prayer? Father, I pray, God, the Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, would be here in a very real way. Thank you for your abiding presence in every believer. And I want to thank you, our Father, that you said that where two or three are gathered in your name, you'll be there in the midst. And we understand, our Father, that God, the Holy Spirit, is the person who's here. Thank you, our Father, for the fact that God the Father and God the Son are omniscient. They are omnipresent. They're always everywhere. But our Father, I want to thank you that, Lord, in a very real way, the person of the Holy Spirit is your love gift to us all the time. Thank you that Lord Jesus Christ was your great love gift at Calvary to redeem us. And the person of the Holy Spirit, as your Son prayed, I will pray the Father, and he'll send you another comforter. Dear Holy Spirit, thank you for your presence. And I ask now, Lord Jesus, that you would minister. And Heavenly Father, thank you for all you've done for us. And God bless now this time together, and I'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I wonder how often you think about the Holy Spirit of God living inside of you. How often you think about the wonderful things that he's done for you over time. Now, I don't mean to separate God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You say, Brother Billy, can you explain the Trinity to me? No, but I can sure enjoy it. I can't explain to you God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. People try to explain that like an egg or water or this, that, and the other. Well, he's God. I mean, our minds are just finite. He's infinite. You can't comprehend him. There's no way you can understand or fully comprehend all of him. We see wonderful facts. But what we do know about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit is more than we can contain in a human body. But thank God that he's God. But think about the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. I want to read to you a few passages of scriptures. I'm conscious of our time, so I won't keep you long, but I do want to read some scriptures. I need to read these. In John 14, our Lord is preparing his disciples for his death. He's leaving. He's going to be crucified. He's already told them. He said, they'll smite the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. And so he's preparing them for that time. I mean, they've been going in and out of villages, and they are conscious of the fact that they've had some enemies and some problems. But they've seen him resurrect the dead. They've seen him heal blind eyes and limbs, and they've seen him multiply just a few little fish and a few loaves of bread and feed 5,000 on one occasion, 4,000, that's just the men, on another occasion. I mean, and he's talking about, they're going to take me and they're going to kill me and you'll be scattered. And he's preparing. You remember when I preached on the Word of God and I said that in John 17, he's praying and he said, Father, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. And in all that passage, over and over again, he mentions the Word of God and he'd given them the Word of God. And he said, what you're going to need to get through tough times is the Word of God. But before he ever started talking about the Word of God in that context of approaching Calvary. In John 14, he talks about the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit, without the Holy Spirit of God, you will not understand the Word of God. The Bible said that the natural man does not receive the things of God, but they are spiritually discerned. And it's the Holy Spirit of God that shows us truth in the Bible. And so in John chapter 14, notice what he said, if you will, please, verse 16. He said, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may be able to be with you, that he may abide with you forever. The Holy Spirit of God will be with you forever. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to die. I'm going to ascend back to the Father. But the Holy Spirit of God is going to be with you forever. Thank the Lord for that. What a wonderful thing to know. Notice what he said. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." Boy, you know what the Bible said? The Bible said, if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. Every person who's ever gotten saved has the Spirit of God living inside of them. You think about that. God inside of you. The Holy Spirit of God living inside of you. When the little children and others say, "I have Jesus in my heart," they're right about that. It's the person of the Holy Spirit of God who comes inside. It's the Holy Spirit of God who quickens and makes brand new, gives us a new nature on the inside. That new man is created by a creative act of regeneration, the Holy Spirit of God being born again by the grace of God. Look a little further in chapter 15. Look at verse 26. "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall be witnesses, because ye have been with me from the beginning." The Holy Spirit of God's going to come and abide in you, he said. He'll come to be with you. He is coming from the Father. And then the Lord Jesus Christ is the one talking. So there's the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Look over a little further in chapter 16. In chapter 16, I begin with verse 7. He said a lot of things I've skipped over. But never notice verse 7, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away." Boy, they couldn't imagine that. How could it be a good thing? He said it's going to be, this is absolutely necessary that I go away, but if I don't, it's going to be good for you. Don't worry about it. It's going to be good. Notice what he said. He said, "It is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. Come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." Now, the word comforter, we've seen a couple of times, it is a Greek word, paraclete. It means somebody who comes alongside to help. Now, I was talking to Ms. Mary a while ago, and we were praying for her. She was having some problems. And she told me what she did. She picked up an 80-pound air conditioner and put it in the window, and then she had some other big things to move, and she paid for it. And what she needed was a paraclete. She needed somebody to come alongside and pick it up for her. I wish we had an occasion when I could play every one of you Dr. J. Harold Owen's message on the heavenly porter. Dr. Loban started preaching many, many years ago, and he rode the train, not the Amtrak, but an old-timey train when he first started preaching. And he said that all the trains had porters. They had somebody there at the station. When you got ready to get on, they'd let the steps down. And they'd put you up and get you into your car or your sleeper, wherever you're supposed to go. And he said he was riding the train, just a young man. And he said that heavenly porter, he said he got to thinking about that porter. He was just like the Holy Ghost. He said, "When I walked up to the train," he said, "Sir, I know where you're supposed to be." He said, "Let me carry your load for you." And he said he took up my suitcases. And he said, "When I got saved by the grace of God, the Holy Ghost said to me, 'I know where you're supposed to be. Let me carry your load for you.'" And he said all this time he's carried the load for him. And he went on and on and talked about all that porter did for him while he was there. And he's the last person he spoke to at night. And he was the one who woke him up in the morning, all those things. But he said, he's going to come alongside you. Did you know you've got somebody to come alongside? So many people tell me, and they go through time when the devil wars against them and they have great fear and loneliness. And they say, "I feel so alone." You don't have to be away from the crowd. You can be in this crowd right here and feel all alone. But he said, I'm going to send the Comforter of the Holy Spirit of God. He'll come and he'll be right beside you. He'll never leave you. He'll be with you forever. He's there to help you. The Holy Spirit of God is inside of every person who's saved inside this building and in the radio audience. And he said, he's right here now, and I'm sending him. He said, he'll never leave you. But now he goes on and he gives some further things that he's going to do. Notice what he said. "And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore, I say unto you that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. A little while, and you shall not see me. And again, a little while, and you shall see me, because I go to my Father. The Lord Jesus Christ says, now look, I'm fixing to die. I'm going to have to suffer all the time, but I'm going to send the Comforter. And that word Comforter means another one just like me. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Years ago, I heard Dr. Harold Seitler preach, and he said, we look at it like this, and we say, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He said, but it's not that at all. It is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They're co-equal and they're co-eternal. The Holy Spirit is all of God. Jesus is all of God. And the Father, of course, is all God. All of them are omniscient. All of them are omnipotent, have all power. And they are one. Wow. That's a wonderful truth to know. But the Holy Spirit of God lives inside of us. He lives inside of us. And I read your passage of scripture where Paul talked about consolation of Christ and the love, and then he talked about the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Now, I have had people to say this before. It's been a long time. But I remember people saying to me in days gone by, Brother Billy, I believe if you'd stay with me all the time, I'd stay up. I believe if I could hang around you, I believe I'd feel good. I believe I'd be happy all the time. Well, I ain't. You can ask my wife. But the Holy Ghost is. He's up all the time. He's never been discouraged. He's never been despondent. The Holy Spirit of God will never, ever leave you or forsake you. Just quickly, I'll share just a few things and we're finished tonight. Number one, who is the Holy Ghost? Who is it he's talking about? Who are we supposed to be fellowshipping with? Number one, I've already told you, but I'm going to reemphasize it. He's God. The Holy Spirit is God, and he's a real person. It's not just a, you know, like the Force, Star Wars, talking about the Force. Jesus Christ, God the Father, and God the Holy Spirit have all power. They are the person of the Godhead, and the Holy Spirit is a person. You notice he's identified in personal pronouns, he, him, he. He's a person. He is God. He is a personal identity. The Holy Spirit is a person of God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, co-equal, co-eternal. He's a person. He has all the attributes of God I mentioned already. He's omnipotent. He's omniscient, knows everything. You think about that. Somebody living inside of you. I'm really, you know, they're talking about, you know, of course, used to be dictionaries, Webster's dictionary, and then the encyclopedia, you know, came out. Used to, they'd go around and they sell all these great, you know, the world book encyclopedia and all that, and had all these books. They'd come by and knock on the door, and here's the whole world of knowledge in these books. And I remember when I was living in Florida, a fellow bought a set, and he called me. He said, I want to send these back. And they said, why? You've got all that. He said, my wife knows everything. But I don't need these books. But, you know, think about it. There's somebody living inside of every person who's saved who knows everything. And he knows it effortlessly. He doesn't have to recall. We were talking about the other night about senior memories and this, that, and the other. I know a lot of young people got senior memories already. They can't remember. But, you know, the Holy Spirit of God knows everything. And on the computers, you know, just the world of information out there. And then you kick them up from, you know, 1 meg, 2 meg, so on. And the faster the better. You know, you can get there. Well, I'm going to just tell you, God the Holy Spirit knows everything effortlessly. He doesn't have to recall anything. And everything is instantaneous, just like that, like a lightning flash. Not a matter. If you ask me a question, you see me, you say, he's so intelligent, he's thinking. No, I'm so dumb, I can't remember what the answer is. It takes me a while to get here. We got Ticker Mitchell and somebody else is sitting in the fellowship hall, and somebody come up and ask a question a while back, and all three of us put a little bit to the answer. And we all laughed, and I said, you know, you're old if it takes three people to answer one question. But the Holy Spirit of God knows everything, and lives inside of you. He lives inside of every believer. He knows every answer to every question you've got. He knows every direction you should go. He knows every deal you should make. He knows it all. Now, the problem is we've got to learn how to walk in the Spirit. And part of learning how He thinks is fellowship. My wife and I, we were riding along, and honestly, this is, I know Don's the same way. My wife will turn around and she'll answer my question that I never ask. I'll be sitting at the table, we'll be somewhere, and she'll hand me the French fries. And I said, I didn't ask for. She said, I know, but I knew you wanted one. That's what comes from being together 50 years. Fellowship and being together 50 years. You kind of know what one's thinking. And he said, who knows the mind of God but the Spirit of God? The Holy Spirit of God knows everything that God the Father wants for you and everything God the Father's got for you. But we don't fellowship with Him in it. We don't just spend time with Him and understand and what the old timers used to call practice His presence. The Holy Spirit of God. Who is He? He's God. He's God, has all the attributes of God. He's the Holy Spirit of God, and He has a name. He speaks. He's not a force. He speaks. The Holy Spirit of God will speak to your heart. He can speak. He can also hear. He can hear. You talk to Him. He hears you. He responds. He'll hear you. He guides. He convicts. He does all those things. He is a person, not just a force, not just a power, but He's a person and lives inside of every one of us. What does He do? I'll do this quickly. What does He do? Well, think back in the book of Genesis. The Bible said, Holy Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. The Bible said in John that nothing was created without Christ. Nothing was created apart from the work of the Holy Spirit of God or the infinite purpose and design of God the Father. Holy Spirit of God moved. I mean, He created. He fashioned that word. Move means brooded, like a hen broods over eggs or something. He created everything. Holy Spirit of God fashioned all this. Man, you're talking about, you kind of get brainwashed. You know, you're talking about nature, enjoying nature. But it's God's creation is what it is. I mean, you see the beautiful mountains, the rivers and all that. That's God the Holy Ghost created all that, fashioned all of it. And you think about all the vast number of animals and all the insects and all the microorganisms that we can't even see that all have features and characteristics and they're identifiable and they're broken down. People know there are gazillions of them. That's a big number. And the Holy Spirit of God created all of those, every one of them. Wow. And the Holy Spirit of God, when the Lord Jesus Christ was coming into the world, the angel came and spoke to the angel and said, don't worry, Mary. The Holy Spirit shall overshadow thee, and you shall bear a son. Thou shalt call His name Jesus. The Holy Spirit of God was involved in the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, that God come incarnate in human flesh in that womb. The Holy Spirit of God initiated and did that. And then the Holy Spirit of God on the day of Pentecost filled and formed the church. On that one day, these rugged group of tax collectors and fishermen who'd followed the Lord Jesus Christ, some were fearful, some were doubting, some were this, that, and the other. They met together in the upper room. But when the Holy Spirit of God came, 3,000 people got saved. God the Holy Ghost is in every believer. He's in this church house. For me and you, what does He do for us? I read to you past the scripture, the Holy Spirit of God came to convict. None of us would ever been saved unless we ever got lost. Some time ago, I was preaching a revival, and a young girl came up to me and spoke to me, and I talked with her one night. The next night, she came up, she was crying, and we talked again. And I had asked her the first night, she was so emotional, I said, are you saved? And she kind of shook her head. And so the next night, she was more composed, but she wanted to talk a little more detail. And I asked her, I said, now you said last night you were saved. She said, I just feel like I need to get closer to Him or whatever. That's a good thing, to get closer. I said, but now tell me about when you got saved. She said, well, I've always known God. I've always known, that's too long. Because there was a time that you were a stranger. There was a time that you were dead in trespass and sin. You did not know God. But there was a time when the Holy Spirit of God came and convicted you of your sin and showed you that you were lost and showed you needed a Savior. And when you saw that, then He showed you the remedy for sin, the person of the Holy Spirit of God, showed you Christ and Him crucified. Simon Peter said, the Lord said, Simon, who do men say that I am? He said, some say Elias, some other prophets, and so on. He said, but who do you say that I am? He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. If Jesus walked in the building, not one of you would recognize Him as being Jesus. You say, well, He's got long hair and this, that, and the other. No, not necessarily. Song of Solomon said His hair was black and bushy as a raven, black as a raven and bushy. I don't know. I don't know what He looked like physically. And you know what? Strange thing about it, in the Old Testament, they were not to have any kind of image of Jehovah God. And we have pictures of Jesus, and I'm not slamming all that. We have in our mind what He looked like. But He told Simon, He said, flesh and blood didn't reveal that. If Jesus walked into the building, you would not know Him from just look at Him physically. He said, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, but My Father which is in heaven. The Holy Spirit of God reveals to us the person of Christ, and that He died for you personally. And you see Him as your own hope of heaven, your own Savior. That was the Holy Spirit of God. Now, I want you to understand something. I was in the front yard of my mama's house in a little metal glider. Brother Barry was walking on the back side of a cotton field or a tobacco field over somewhere. But the God of this universe came to where we were and convicted us of our sin and showed us the Savior. I mean, He's making the sun rise and set. The tides go in and out. He's feeding all the birds in all the world. But He took time to come to where you were, on the dirt road where you live, or in the church where you were. And it was the Holy Ghost that convicted you of your sin. And it's the Holy Ghost that showed you Christ. And when you got saved, Romans says, it was the Holy Spirit of God that came in you crying, Abba, Father. That birth cry of salvation. When you believed on Him, the Holy Spirit of God moved on your heart. He convicted you, showed you to save you. When you received Christ, the Bible said, book of Romans, the Holy Spirit of God come in us crying, Abba, Father. That's like that birth cry. When that baby is born and they just slap that baby for the first time and he cries out, the Holy Spirit of God came in you and you cried out, Father. That was the Holy Spirit. He convicts us. He converts us. He cleanses us. Working inside of us all these years, the Holy Spirit of God's been dealing with us, dealing with me and dealing with you, and putting His finger. We got saved, we're saved. Heaven's our home. He forgave all of our sin. But there were things in us that need to be there, just like the potter and the clay. And so the Holy Spirit of God over the years took the Word of God and everything else, and He convicts us, but He cleanses us. When we did wrong, He chastens us. He corrects us. As a matter of fact, most of the time He warns us ahead of time not to do it, and then when we do it, He deals with us as a son. He chastens us and corrects us. Holy Spirit of God does that. He said when the Holy Spirit of God comes, He'll guide you into all truth. All truth. Anything you've ever known. That is an inclusive term and an exclusive term. He'll guide you into all truth. What He's saying is this. Number one, if you know any truth, He showed it to you. He's the only one He can. All. He's the only one who can show you Bible truth. And then He said, I'll show you all truth. Now, it's a little bit at a time. We couldn't stand it if it was all at one time. We just couldn't comprehend it. So He gives us a little bit here, a little bit there, reveals truth to us as we go along. Holy Spirit of God. Holy Spirit of God does that for us. And He works on us and deals with us in those ways and speaks to our heart. Turn over to the book of Galatians. I'd like for you to look there. We were there in the Philippians to start with, but now go back to the book of Galatians in chapter 5. In Galatians chapter 5, I'll read this. And I'm going to quit right here. I'm going to just stop. I'm going to stop. In chapter number 5, notice what it says in verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh and the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And I won't go and read the rest of that chapter or the rest of the next few verses. But the whole emphasis is what's back in verse 22. He said, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. There's one tree that grows love. It's God. God is love, inclusively and exclusively. He's the only source of real, genuine love. Only one. And if you've ever experienced love, it was the Holy Ghost of God did that. If you felt your love of attraction to your mother, we call that a natural instinct, but that's the Holy Ghost working in you. Love. Love of a mother for a child. Love of a child for a mother. Love of a husband for a wife for a husband. Love of the saints for each other. And we love Him, Christ, because He first loved us. It's the work of the Holy Spirit of God. If you've ever experienced love, it was the Holy Ghost that did that. You ever had any peace at all? You ever stood by the bedside of a loved one who's leaving this world, and yet you had a great sense of peace? That was the Holy Ghost. That was a comforter standing right beside you. Peace is inclusive and exclusive with Him. Nobody else can give you peace. Nobody else could give you real, genuine peace but Him. He did that. It was the Holy Ghost that did that. Joy. Have you ever had any joy in your life over anything? Spiritual things, daily things, joy of anything, any kind of joy you've ever experienced, this genuine and pure, the joy of family, the joy of just being together, the joy of enjoying whatever your activity or whatever it is, fishing or shopping or whatever it is, and just being with somebody, real joy. He gives that joy. It's He who does that. I wrote my notes early this morning. He is the unknown benefactor. I have had people say before, somebody gave an anonymous donation. They gave something. Jim and Ronnie White were telling us some time ago that somebody gave an anonymous gift of $10,000, I believe, toward the Eva Ennis Children's Home. I mean, nobody knew who it was. And we as Christians have gone around so long with an anonymous benefactor, donor. He's given us joy and peace and all those other things that are mentioned there. And we've never even acknowledged Him. We've not even thanked the Holy Ghost. We've certainly not fellowshiped with Him any. You and I need to learn. Tonight, I'll talk some about that. Who is He? What does He do? And then what are we to do in relationship to Him? I have to talk about that tonight. I don't have time. But I will say this to you. Number one, He said, today if you hear His voice, harden not your heart. It's the Holy Ghost of God speaks to you. If He speaks to you in any kind of convicting way today, you need to respond to what He wants you to do. It's between you and Him. But if He put His finger on something in your life that you know is not right, you ought to confess it, acknowledge it, forsake it. If He convicts you about being lost, He'll save you today. He does not convict you just to make you miserable. He's drawing you, dealing with you, because He wants you to have peace. He wants you to have joy. He wants you to be saved. Listen to Him. Learn to listen to Him. I want us to bow our heads for just a few moments. With our heads bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you so much for the wonderful singing choir. Brother Brad for leading the congregation of singing. Thank God for you and your family. Thank you, Miss Kay, for singing today. Brother Ricky, thank you for leading the choir today in the solo part. If you've been blessed, the Bible said every good and perfect gift comes down from God, the Father of lights. It comes out of the love of the Father, comes through the channel of the Lord Jesus Christ. My God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. but it's the Holy Spirit of God that imparts those gifts to you. Fellowship with Him some. Learn to look to Him. Walk, the Bible said, in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you learn to fellowship with Him, walk with Him. If you learn to communicate with Him, learn to spend time in prayer with Him. You said, Brother Bill, I really don't know how to pray. You know what He said? He said, the Holy Spirit of God helpeth thy infirmities, because we don't know how to pray for what we ought. Holy Spirit of God's your greatest prayer partner. Learn to acknowledge Him. Look to Him. He said, when I'm come, I'll not speak of myself. He'll magnify the Lord Jesus Christ and present Christ as your Savior. But for those of us who are saved, we certainly ought to understand the work of the Holy Spirit in us and what He's done. I don't know what you need to do today. Everything's arranged a little differently. I'm going to ask you to do this. He's omnipresent. There's just as much God in the back of this auditorium as there is in the front. If you're here today and you've got a need, a burden, or care, cast it on Him. He's here to be a comfort to you. He is the comforter. He is the sustainer. He is the one who comes alongside to help you. You need direction, He'll guide you into all truth. You have to wait on Him. Let Him lead you. Let Him give you a direction of peace. He'll help you. I want to stand together with our heads bowed and eyes closed for just a moment. Brad, if you don't mind, I'll get you to sing maybe just one verse of a song this morning. If you need to be saved, if you're not saved, you'll come. I'll meet you here. God's people will let you get around and get by something or other. There are folk who'll pray with you on the other ends of the other aisles or whatever. But right now, I want you to do this while Brad sings. I want you just to acknowledge the presence of the Holy Spirit of God in your life. I'm thankful for the God the Father, God the Son. But so often we neglect to recognize the work of the Holy Spirit. He's not seeking any glory. He'll not glorify Himself, the Bible said. He'll glorify me. But you and I ought to have a heart of gratitude toward the Godhead. Just thank the Lord. Acknowledge what the Holy Spirit of God has done in your life. Our Heavenly Father, I want to thank You for Your presence. I know, God, You're here, and I know, God, You spoke to hearts. Lord, I want to thank You for the Holy Spirit of God. I pray, God, that, Lord, not one man or woman, boy or girl, leave these grounds without knowing Christ. I pray, God, for the work of the Holy Spirit of God. Dear Spirit, speak to their heart, convict them, draw them to the Father, to the Son. I pray, Father, that, Lord, that You just, that, Lord, just continue to bless. Lord, I pray that right now the Holy Spirit of God would speak to our hearts. There are some people who genuinely need some direction in their life. You are their guide. I pray, God, they'll learn to seek You and ask the Spirit's direction. God, I pray You to illumine their way. Pray, God, You'd help me to learn to walk in the Holy Ghost and listen, let You speak to my heart. Be obedient to You. Now, while we just worship for a few minutes in fellowship with Him, Brad's going to sing a verse of a song, You Obey Christ.